Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. Thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We hope you'll become a regular listener. At the end of this broadcast, we have a TV program that airs at 8 to 8:30 a.m. on Public Access Channel number 6, entitled Searching the Scripture. Please give it a view. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchristatharrisburg.com. You'll find all these radio programs. TV programs can be found there, and a host of other Bible-related material that will aid you in your study of the Word of God. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our services at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any of all of these services. You will always be warmly received. We have no demands of you. We just want you to come and study the Bible with us, worship God, and let us show you your need for God in your life, and you have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. We have been looking at this month, we've been looking at the subject of why we remember the Church of Christ, because we believe it's important to rightly divide the Word of God. We're going to conclude this part of the subject today by looking at the better covenant. I want to begin by reading some verses to you, and then we want to make some application. We first begin with Colossians 2, verse number 14. Colossians 2, verse 14. It says, having wiped out the handwriting of the requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to his cross. Next, we want to read Galatians chapter 3, verse 23 through 25. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept by the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. Then in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 14 through 16. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 14. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, so as to create himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. And that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And last, Hebrews chapter 8, in verse number 6 and 7. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, insomuch as he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. For if the first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Now, all these verses together, when you read them, explain that there were two covenants, an Old Testament covenant and a New Testament covenant. In the context of all the things that we read, one was taken away and one remains. The one that remains is better than the one that was taken away. The one that was taken away was the old law, the law of Moses, the old covenant, the fleshly part of the law. The law was taken away. It was taken away because there was something better. Now, why was it better? Well, under the old law, you had the letter of the law, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 and 7. It was a law, a fleshly, physical law. Also, God spoke in that law directly in the beginning by the fathers, and then he would speak by Moses through the law and by the prophets. It is called a ministration of death in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7 through 10, because it did not have the necessary requirements that would take care of man's greatest need, and that is a redemption for sin. It was written on tables of stone, and it was to be done away with, according to 2 Corinthians 3, verse 14. Now, the first covenant was a loss. Why? Because it had animal sacrifices. But Hebrews 10, 1 through 4 says that those sacrifices could not forgive sin. And then it had fleshly circumcision, as began with Abraham in Genesis chapter 17, 9 through 12. It had divers washings that would purify those who would come before God and offer sacrifice. It had a Passover feast in order to symbolize God passing over sin, a shadow over what was to come. And we read that Passover and its instructions in Exodus 10 through 12. It also had a Sabbath day. A Sabbath day was a day that was reserved for God that began in the Mosaic Covenant under Exodus 20, verse 8, when they were told to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. It was in perfection for redemption. Why? We just read in Hebrews 8 that if there would have been no fault with it, then there would have been no need for the second. And one of the faults was that it limited, because it was written to the nation of Israel. It was a limited law given to a nation, a national law. And last but not least, that first covenant was temporal. It was never designed to last forever, nor was it designed to save man. It was a prelude. It was something that would lead us to that which was necessary and needed. What was that? That was the better covenant. That was the new law. The new law was the gospel. It's God's power to save, Romans 1, verse 16. And it is not a letter of the law like the old one. It is the spirit. It's a spiritual law because it's written to a spiritual nation. And God speaks in this covenant, but he speaks through his son, John chapter 17, verse 8, and Hebrews 1, verse 1 and 2. It's a ministration of life in contrast to the ministration of death, because it will give men life. It will result in men being able to have eternal life. And it's not written on tables of stone, but it's written on the fleshly tables of our hearts. It's written in our mind and in our hearts, that we might keep it there, that it might guide and direct the decisions and choices that we make. And as the first law was done away with, the old covenant, this one remains, according to 2 Corinthians 3, verse 14, and will remain as long as time lasts, until time is no more. And what was lost under the first covenant is gained under the second, because now we have a living Savior. We have a Savior that is able to redeem us and purchase us back from sin. Instead of fleshly circumcision, we have circumcision of the heart, which shows us that we have a different relationship with God, according to Romans 2, 29. The divers washings were replaced by baptism that puts us in contact with the blood of Christ that is able to remit our sin. And then we have the Lord's Supper instead of the Passover feast. We have the memorial, the only memorial that God asked for under his law, his son, is that we remember his death upon the cross and the pain and the agony that he suffered in order to bring redemption and the sacrifice that God would accept as a payment for sin. And then we don't have a Sabbath, we have a Lord's Day, a day that belongs to the Lord, that we worship him and serve him and give our praise and honor and glory to him in order that he might be magnified. And then, as this was in perfection for redemption because it was a national law, this is a universal law. This was a law given to all men, Jews and Gentiles. And it was perfect because it gave the remedy for sin that was not contained under the old law. We now had a remedy for sin. We had a prescription that we could gain remission of our sin, and even though we sinned, we could stand justified before God, acquitted, because of the blood that was shed on the cross of Christ. And this covenant is eternal in the fact that it will last as long as time lasts here on earth. And it is a covenant that will guide men and lead men to do the things and obey the commandments of God in order to please him. And so what we see is that we live under the better covenant. We live under the covenant that was able to do more for us than the temporary covenant of the law of Moses. Well, maybe you're wondering the passage we read that said, "For if the first covenant had been faultless, there had been no place where it had been sought for a second." Now, what does it mean? You mean God made a faulty law? No, God didn't make a faulty law. That law did everything that God designed it to do. And as we read earlier in the beginning of our broadcast, in Galatians 3, that law, was given in order to lead us to Jesus Christ, to lead us in a comprehensive way to the cross. in order to understand that the key piece of God's eternal plan for the redemption of sinful men was always the death of his son upon the cross, because he would give a perfect sacrifice that would be the ransom price for sin in order that man might be redeemed and that he might be able to gain forgiveness of sin and be able to have a relationship with Christ that would begin here on earth and would last throughout all eternity. And you see, those provisions are not contained under the old covenant, but they were contained under the new covenant, the better covenant, the perfect covenant, the covenant that was established not with the blood of animals, but with the blood of Jesus Christ, a lamb without spot and without blemish and precious, according to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. And so you see, ladies and gentlemen, God had an eternal plan, and that plan involved two covenants. And men that don't learn to rightly divide the word of God will get themselves into trouble when they try to justify and try to demonstrate the right that they have to do certain things by going back to the old covenant, a covenant that is no longer in effect, a covenant that was nailed to the cross, a covenant that had served its purpose, had led us to Christ, and now had been set aside. It was a law that separated the Jew and the Gentile. That's what we read in Ephesians 2. It separated them. It was a barrier between them. And so God removed the barrier, so now the Jew and the Gentile can be on equal footing. They can be on equal footing with God. They can have the same opportunity. They can have the same benefit. And both of them can be saved through the sacrifice of Christ upon the cross by obedience to God, the gospel plan of salvation, and obedience to be followed God's instruction and to follow the terms and conditions that are contained within the new covenant, the better covenant. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we have spent this month trying to get you to understand that there is much confusion in the religious world because they have not learned this lesson. Let me go back and reread at the end of our study today where we began the first of this month. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a workman who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Men get themselves into religious chaos and make the Bible stand on its head and make it contradict itself because they don't rightly divide the word of God. They don't know how to go to the Bible and rightly divide it. They try to prove things in the Old Testament of things that they're doing under the time of Christ. It can't be done because that's not the way the law works. That law led us to Christ. Now that we're in Christ, now we're under his law, not the law of Moses. And so I want to ask you, dear listener, is the church that you're attending, have they rightly divided the word of God? Or are they still using Old Testament passages and proof text for the things that they're doing because they can't find them under the law of Christ? That law cannot save you, but the law of Christ can. We encourage you to check out our information. Read the passages for yourself and see if there are not two covenants, but there is only one that is binding today, and it is the law of Christ in which can save us according to the blood that was shed on the cross. Thank you for listening. Tune in again next Lord's Day.